desires to direct our walk, our footsteps. Let us turn, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, a very familiar chapter. Verse 13, Luke 24, verse 13. I was thinking about this portion today while traveling. Luke 24, 13, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass where they communed together. They talked together and they communed together. There was a togetherness as to their lips, and the verse 15 as to their hearts. It's a stronger word, they communed together, a heart-to-heart communion. And reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Verse 25. That he said unto them, O fools and slow of hearts, and believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Incidentally, this is the center verse of Luke 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, there are 53 verses. This is the 27th verse. And if I were to be asked to use one statement to epitomize the entire teaching of God's Word, I would use these words, the things concerning himself. From beginning to end, the things concerning himself. And I trust we'll enjoy those things at the conference. Verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread. Now you see, the guest becomes the host. This is one of the four occasions in the New Testament where the Lord took bread. He took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. He took, and he blessed, and he brake, and he gave to them. That's the order. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Oh, their eyes might be open to this conference to behold our Savior. Fresh vision of Christ. Revelation of his person. They knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened unto us the scriptures? And they arose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, hath appeared to Simon. You see, what is prominent in this chapter is the revelation of Christ, the appearing of Christ, the presence of Christ. He appeared to Simon, and they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them. He was known of them in the breaking of bread. And I think we'll just leave that now for the time being. In the closing chapters of the four Gospels, that which is very, very prominent, if not preeminent, is the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You recall in Matthew chapter 28, the Lord met them outside in Galilee at a mountain, in the mountain. And undoubtedly Galilee was a place of reproach. A stigma of reproach was indelibly stamped upon the dwellers not only of Nazareth, but of Galilee. The Lord didn't meet his own in the great city of Jerusalem, where he'd been rejected, but in the outside place. Actually, I think the word Galilee, at least one of its meanings, is the place of a circle. Place of a circle. And that's where the Lord met his own, in the outside place, and that's where he meets his own today. And he met them there, and so there we see the pattern for worship. They went to a mountain which he appointed. They had no choice. A place of divine appointment, place of divine attraction, place of divine adoration. And then it became the center of activity. From that place, they were sent forth. Communion came first. Fellowship came first, and then service, and that is always God's order. Communion and then conflict, and they were sent forth to preach. Not only to see souls saved, but to make disciples of all nations. And the more I read the New Testament, the more I realize that salvation and discipleship are inseparably linked together. They're never divorced. The two are linked together. And so there in Matthew 28, we have the power for worship. The pattern for worship, I should say. At the closing chapter of Mark, you have the power for our work. The Lord worked with them. And here in Luke 24, his presence in our walk. And in John 21, the proprietor for our will, if I will. So we have the principle of separation in Matthew, the power for service in Mark, provision for our sojourn in Luke, and the path of submission in John chapter 21. Or we might put it this way. In Matthew, we have Christ constraining our worship. They worshiped him as they met him and saw him. In Luke, Mark, Christ commanding our work. In Luke, Christ communing in our walk. He walked with them. And in John 21, Christ controlling our will. Just a few little outlines on these four closing chapters in these four Gospels. So that which is prominent is the preciousness of the Lord's presence along the pilgrim pathway. And beloved, we need his presence. It's not just enough to quote Matthew 18 and 20, and we love to quote it, and we love that verse very much and the truth contained in it, but we need to know a conscious experience of the Lord's presence with us in our worship, in our walk, in our service, in our homes, in our lives, and in our very own souls. We need to know the presence of the Lord. I must know the Savior with me. I must have the Savior with me, but I dare not walk alone. I must know his presence near me and his arm around me thrown. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a closer intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the two here started out along the journey, and they were sad. Later on in this particular chapter, we read that they returned to Jerusalem with joy. They returned with joy. They left with sadness, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And that which made the difference was the manifestation, the realization, and the enjoyment of his presence. Beloved, if the Lord will draw near and go with us at these meetings, we'll leave with great joy. If we came with our heart burdened with sorrow, because of the way, because of conditions, the Lord will speak to us, the Lord will draw near to us, and if the Lord will draw near and go with us, we'll leave the conference in a different way. We'll take it with us, as it were, and we'll enjoy the conscious presence of our Lord along the pathway heavenward and homeward. Now, we might sum up the chapter in a fourfold way. I see, first of all, here the path of common experience. They walked sadly along the way. They missed their Lord. They had lost, at least for the time being, they'd lost the apprehension that he was going to rise again. They thought he was dead. Their hearts were filled with dismay and darkness, and that was it. All hope was gone. Hope was buried. And this is often the path of God's people today. It seems that our hope seems to leave us, if you will. We wonder, is the Lord still living? Is the Lord still with us? Is he still able? The path of common experience. Secondly, the pressure of current events. Thirdly, the prophetic calendar explained. And fourthly, the preciousness of Christ-like exposition. I'll repeat those four again, for they seem to epitomize this chapter. The path of common experience. The pressure of current events. The prophetic calendar explained, and the preciousness of Christ-like ministry, for he opened unto them in all the scriptures, expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. I think in some ways Luke 22 and 23 and 24 correspond with Psalm 22, 23 and 24. Psalm 22, we have, of course, the suffering Savior, and in Psalm 23, we have the sustaining shepherd. And in Psalm 24, the satisfied sovereign, the Savior, and the shepherd and the sovereign. Well, in Luke 22 and 23, of course, we have the suffering Savior. And in Luke 24, we have the shepherd. Here, I think we have the Psalm 23 in the New Testament. I don't know of any chapter in the New Testament that corresponds so beautifully with Psalm 23 as Luke 24. We have Christ as the risen shepherd ministering words of comfort and counsel and help and encouragement to his own. It is the Psalm 23 of the New Testament. And of course, at the close of this chapter, you have the ascension of Christ. And I think we have reference to that in Psalm 24, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord. We have ascension. So we have the suffering, and we have the shepherd work of Christ, and we have the ascending one. But at the end of the chapter, he leaves them, and we read, at the close of the chapter, he was parted from them, and he was carried up into heaven, and then they worshipped him, the ascending Christ, in return with great joy. Now, we have the Lord Jesus Christ here in various portrayal. We have him as the Son. In verse 49, he speaks of my Father. We have him as Jesus. Jesus drew near with him. There's Christ in his incarnation. We have him as the prophet. In verse 19, he's mighty in word, deed, and word, the prophet. Then, of course, in verse 26, ought not Christ to suffer these things to enter into his glory? We have the Savior, the suffering one. And then we have him in resurrection, verse 34, the Lord is risen, and he's the shepherd. And then, of course, at the end of the chapter, repeat, we have him ascending into the glory. And if we link the 24th of Luke with Acts chapter 1, we have the coming one. This same Jesus shall so come in like manner.
So there we have a sevenfold revelation of Christ. He's the Son. And he's Jesus. And he's the prophet. And he's the Savior. And he's the risen shepherd. And he's the ascending one. And he's the coming one. In all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Now, in thinking of Psalm 23, we think of companionship. The psalmist says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And here we read that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. What a glorious person. Jesus himself, the blessed person. He drew near the blessed presence. He went with them, the blessed partnership. And he went with them, the blessed pathway. Oh, how blessed it was when the Lord drew near, though at first they did not know him, yet later he was revealed, and their hearts burned within them as they knew that it was the Lord who was walking with them. And I say again, if the Lord will draw near and go with us at this conference, our hearts will burn within us. And our hearts will rejoice, and our hearts will overflow, and our sorrow will be turned into joy. So there was the companionship. But then, in Psalm 23, we have communion. Now prepare a table before me in the presence of an enemy. And here it says, he sat at meat with them. They were in the presence of spiritual enemies. Doubt, destitution, disappointment, and what have you. And in the midst of those spiritual enemies, discouragement, they were discouraged. But the Lord drew near, and he communed with them, he drew near, and he went with them. Then, of course, in Psalm 23, you have counsel. We lie down in the green pastures, and we learn of him, and we feed upon his precious word. And here you open unto them the scriptures, are they not the green pastures that you have in Psalm 23? Then in Psalm 23, we have comfort and cheer. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, and my cup runneth over. And here it says, the Lord said, why are you troubled? Their hearts were comforted, as we read here in the midst of their sorrow. So there was comfort. And of course, in Psalm 23, he restoreth my soul. And here there's restoration, there's correction. They left with their hearts filled with sorrow, and returned with their hearts filled with joy. There was restoration. And then in the close of Psalm 23, David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so, again, linking Acts chapter 1 with the closing chapter of Luke, we have the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, that's a subject in itself, but the comparison of these two have been very precious to me just of late, taking Psalm 23 and putting it in Luke 24, the heavenly shepherd, the risen shepherd, revealing himself to his own. Now, we've been reminded of the condition of these men here. They were discouraged, they were disappointed, they were, if you will, deluded, and their hearts were filled with a sense of destitution, and they were in doubt. But the presence of the Lord was the answer to it all. And the presence of the Lord, beloved, answers every difficulty in our hearts and our lives. Now, as to the requirements for the enjoyment of his presence, it says, first of all, they walk together, and they talk together, and they commune together. I understand that's a very strong word. There was a heart-to-heart communion. Oh, beloved, may this be true of the conference. May there be that heart-to-heart communion with one another as the Lord will draw near. And then they were speaking about himself. They were speaking about him. And you know, when the Lord drew near, they could go right on speaking about him. Sometimes, you know, when you and I are speaking together and a third party draws near, we've got to stop right away. But they could go right on talking because they were speaking about him. And this is one of the conditions that made it possible for the Lord to draw near. The Lord loves to draw near. Someone has said, talk about the devil and the devil appears. Throw it out the window. Talk about the Lord and the Lord appears. And if our conversation is centered in the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe the Lord will be delighted to draw near as we walk hand in hand and heart in heart together. Oh, may the Lord grant it to be so. There may be nothing between us. Maybe that heart communion one with another as we meet together and as we sit together under the sound of the Word of God. There was a togetherness, a blessed unity. And then there was that blessed conversation concerning himself. And there was that heart devotion to him. Now, their conception, their apprehension of Christ was not exactly correct here. They thought he was dead. They seemed to have lost sight of the fact that he was going to rise again. But yet they loved him. They loved him. I remember many years ago in the city of Detroit hearing old brother William J. McClure speak along this line. He spoke of Nicodemus and Joseph. He said, you know, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And Joseph was a secret disciple for fear of the Jews. He says these men were not particularly great men of courage. And they weren't particularly men of discernment or knowledge, because they should have known that the Lord was going to rise from the dead, and they didn't need all that bandage and all the ointment. But he says they may have been men that were not courageous, and they may have been men who are not the proper discernment, but he said they had love to Christ. He said, I would rather have less courage and perhaps less knowledge and more love to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now these men really loved the Lord, and they were talking about him. And there was a heart devotion. And then they were walking apart. They were not in the city with the crowd. They were walking outside the city along the road to Emmaus. And the Lord drew near. Oh, may the conference be an Emmaus experience to you and to me. There are four roads in the Word of God that I sometimes link together. There is the Emmaus Road and the Damascus Road and the Jericho Road and the Calvary Road. Well, we should be found on all of these roads. But particularly the road to Emmaus. Enjoying the presence of the Lord and know what it is in reality at these meetings to have Jesus himself draw near and go with us. Now, what was the result? Well, there was a revelation of truth and a revelation of himself. The Lord appeared and their eyes were opened and they knew him. All for a revelation of Christ. The Lord may draw near, shine upon us, make his presence real. There was a renewal of fellowship. Perhaps we've been walking out of fellowship with God. May there be a renewal of fellowship. And there was surely a restoration of joy, for I say again, they left with their hearts filled with sorrow and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. I trust that this conference will be a restoration of joy. Perhaps we've lost our joy. And our prayer should be restored to me, the joy of thy salvation. I trust it'll be restored. I will leave happy in soul, singing the praises of the Lord. And there was a recovery of faith. See, temporarily there was a lapse of faith. They had lost it. They lost the sense. They lost the realization that the Lord was going to be with them, and the Lord was risen, and their faith was very, very low. But there was a rekindling of their faith. They saw him, and they knew him, and they believed it was their beloved Savior. And there was the rekindling of hope. Now, what hope was to fill their heart? He's alive. He's living. We thought he was dead. We thought he was gone. We thought we'd never see him again, but here he is. He walked with them, he talked with them, and he ate with them. They gave to him, and he gave to them. There was a blessed communion, and their hearts burned. And I say there was a great transformation. They returned with great joy. I was thinking of this little word today. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. May there be nothing in your heart and mind and nothing in our midst that will hinder, prevent the Lord drawing near to us at this time. In a very special way. And may we know the work, hear the voice of the heavenly shepherd, as he unfolds to us the truth of God and speaks to our hearts. And we're drawn closer together. And we'll be speaking about him. More and more about Jesus. And he'll draw near and go with us. And we'll leave the conference in a different way. May it be so for his name's sake.